Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Smart Faith Podcast, coming to you from the middle of nowhere in West Texas. My name is Joe Sisk, and you can email me, smartfaithpodcast@yahoo.com. Definitely check out revelationsradionetwork.com. You can also check out smartfaithpodcast.com as well for my little kind of blog site. The show notes up on it. I also put just random thoughts that are coming to me about different religious things that I hear in the news and in around in the world around me and all that. But you might check it out. It's not real flashy or anything. It's just some basic musing and this basically is kind of the same thing you'd hear, but in written form. So you might want to check that out. SmartFaithPodcast.com. I did go on a bit of a hiatus there this early spring here doing this. We are relocating from the area that we were in West Texas to an area in North Texas. We're going to be in the middle of doing that, so I'm going to get this show out here, and I probably won't do another show for a month to a month and a half because we're going to be still working on that whole move thing. We've been working on this thing for about since Christmas thereabout, and we're trying to get it done. We're getting down to the last little bit of it, getting it finalized and drawn out, and we're going to jump up there real soon. So, for long, we'll have to be saying it differently. I won't be coming from the West Texas anymore. I mean, I guess you could still call that West Texas, but, to me it's more North Texas, but, whatever. Anyway, that's just kind of what's been going on. I hope everybody's doing all right. Today's episode is going to be about presidential views on the Bible. We're going to be reviewing some famous quotes spoken by American presidents in regards to the Holy Bible. It is amazing the wonderful words our leaders have spoken in regards to Christianity and our Holy Book. This stands in stark contrast with recent presidents and public officials that seem to be bent for leather to deny God and His Word. Two notes before you begin. I'm not interested in getting into a political argument with anyone. And two, I know some of these presidents figure prominently into conspiracy theories. Okay, we're not going to be getting into all that right now. To my mind, that doesn't matter because praise for God, even if it is a fool of masses, is praise. If they were disgenuine in their praise, then that's not something that's readily available and obvious to us as we view the history of our country. If they were really just using God as a way to, make their people, make their constituents more comfortable with their leadership roles and, had no intentions of ever really meaning what they were saying, that's between them and God, So we're not going to get into arguing did they really mean what they said or not, because if they said it, we're going to take them at the word. So we're not going to get into political conspiracies. We're not going to get into the, Democrats are better than Republicans, or Republicans are better than Democrats, and, hey, let's all join the Tea Party. We're not going to get into the end of that. We're just going to go straight on what we've heard said, okay? And I don't want to give any political bias as little as possible that I can here. I know many of us are aware of the fact that President Obama has said America is no longer a Christian nation. For the sake of fairness, and God would desire us to be honest about everything, Obama actually said, and I'm quoting here, "Given the increasing diversity of America's population, the dangers of sectarianism has never been greater. Whatever we once were, we are no longer just a Christian nation. We are also a Jewish nation, a Muslim nation, a Buddhist nation, a Hindu nation, and a nation of non-believers." Now, he is essentially correct. America is filled with a wide variety of people with differing belief systems. Christianity is not the exclusive religion of America, and there's a good reason for that. The Founding Fathers did not want religious tyranny to become the order of the day because many of them ended up in America because of such tyranny in their home countries. The persecution of the Church of England, for example. Some of them were fleeing the Catholic Church. Some of them were fleeing just different establishments that were tyrannical in the places that they lived, and they came to America to come to a new land and have a new start and have a different tradition. And our tradition is a tolerance for all religion. Christianity is not an exclusive religion, nor would you want it to be, because if you're the ruling majority and you're part of the exclusive group, you only remain in a good position as long as you agree with the group. Once somebody comes up with a doctrine that you don't accept or you find a flaw in and you disagree with it, if we're in this exclusive situation to where the church is government sanctioned or something like that, and you disagree with the church, or you're in trouble. You are no longer in a very very promising position. You are in kind of a bad way. Okay, so the counterpoint to that really states is that many founding fathers were in fact Christian, and also that also holds to be true. Many of them at least, you know, said they were Christian, which is, like I said, we're going to go with what they said as being the truth. The fact is, a great deal of our nation's laws and traditions were set into place by those that held Jesus Christ in high esteem. Many of them spoke openly about their faith. This is not uncommon. Okay? A few openly opposed Jesus, but they tended to be a minority, especially in the time the nation was founded. Now, there was a few of these political figures in our country that were not, that were deists, or believed in God in general, but not in Jesus Christ as presented by the Bible, and all that. Many of them, the tradition of loving Jesus and having reverence for God's holy word was continued through even until modern era presidents and national leaders. I want to review each statement made by a president in regards to the support of the God of God and the Bible, and then examine exactly what point they're making and how the wisdom can still benefit us even today. Let's start off at the top with George Washington. The father of our nation once said, "It is impossible to rightly govern a nation without God and the Bible." Alright, the Bible, according to George Washington, and according to God, is the ultimate book of ethics. It is a code that teaches us right from wrong. And no person can live their lives truly well without applying the Bible to their behaviors. You know, and this whole standard of morality that goes straight to God comes down through that book. That's where we get the rule book from. That's where we get our moral code from. That's where everything is laid out in black and white. So, we need that in our lives today. And our nation needs that to be strong in its day-to-day operations as well. The Bible is, as kids in Sunday school will tell you, the basic instructions before leaving earth. The Bible lays it all out in black and white about what we're to do and what we're to avoid doing. It hands down reasonably and well-drafted laws that, when applied, serve as pillars to the community and pillars to the nation. Without the Bible, one can morally justify nearly anything. With no God, everything is permissible. But the Bible must be and must remain the method in which we rightly govern our country and govern our lives, of course. But, I mean, it goes down from the top all the way down to the bottom. From running the whole of our country, the biggest grouping of, people that are in charge, all the way down to each one of us being in charge of our own lives. We need the Bible on every level. Okay, let's take another statement from Washington. The propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained. George Washington spoke that. So the favorable smiles of heaven just can't be expected on a nation that does not follow the rules that God himself has set up and deemed as proper and correct. And any nation that attempts to run in the face of God's rules will find themselves quickly in a bind. You know, you try to defy God, it's not going to go well. It just kind of falls apart. It really does. Next up is the line, here's the next quote of, says, "The destiny of America is to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to all men everywhere." That was spoken by President John Adams. This is indeed the destiny of all men, to carry Christ to the ends of the world until all souls have a chance to hear of him and his good news. This is a mandate that many Christians and many Americans have forgotten. It's easier to keep Jesus to ourselves and not share him when that's the very thing we need to be doing most. Be bold, America. Our founding fathers were. You know, they were up there, they were setting up a nation, and they didn't have no problem bringing God along with them. You know, the believers that were Christian had no problem in, you know, there's this whole big hubbub over separation of church and state, but there's a freedom of religion, not necessarily a freedom from religion. You know, some of our earliest leaders and some of our, even our modern leaders, have been very strongly grounded in the Bible. Another early president said, "We recognize no sovereign but God and no king but Jesus." That was also spoken by John Adams. There's a fundamental truth in that, America. We bend our knee to no mortal king or emperor, nor shall we as long as breath is in our lungs, but we humbly fall to our faces in the presence of the Lord. He is the rightful ruler of all, and the only ruler acknowledged by the American people, at least by the bulk of us. And, you know, that's actually something interesting. I'm working on a piece right now. If you, by the time you hear this, you probably can go to smartfaithpodcast.com and read some of my thoughts on the recent announcement about, you know, in the past couple weeks that the studies have been coming out talking about the decline of Christianity in America. I'm going to be writing on that. But anyway, the bulk of us are still listing as primarily Christian. It's almost three-fourths of us, but it's still well over a halfway majority. So the bulk of us say that. I say this somewhat ironically, having descended from royal European stock. My family goes back, my mother is very much into genealogy, and has traced my family back through several different lines that takes us back through the English royal houses, the King Henry the Eighth, I think, is part of Anne Boleyn, is part of my family. She even believes to have it as far back as Charlemagne. So, I mean, I have lots of, like many people, I mean, I know there's a lot of people out there that have royal blood, but, in their histories, in their genealogies, but, I am an American, and even though I may have come from that bloodline over there that, you know, is now no longer in power, but, you know, it's kind of, you know, nevertheless, we're kind of saying Jesus or nothing, even the ones of us who would have had a birthright claim if, you know, things had gone a little differently, you know, but we still say Jesus or nothing. One more from John Adams. This is kind of an interesting saying that he put here. He said, "I consider a decent respect for Christianity among the best recommendations for public service." This holds very true. If you have a respect for Christianity and the teachings that you're going, and its teachings, you're going to conduct yourself in a moral, upright manner, which is how every public servant should conduct themselves. If you find a good Christian person to be a public servant, then your odds are you're going to get a respectable official. The Bible, quoting here, is the first and almost the only book deserving of universal attention. This was spoken by President John Quincy Adams. It is the first book for absolutely sure that is deserving of universal attention. I mean, no other book in the world needs to be read like the Bible needs to be read and studied. It could be argued to some, by some, that the only book worthy of that distinction. You know, it'd be hard pressed to argue that, you know, say, no, it's not. You know, it surely, you're not, I can't really think of any other book that really, I think everybody should read more than the Bible. The Bible's importance cannot be overstated, and our founding fathers knew this. Now, old JQA there, old John Quincy Adams, was a smart fellow. Now, let's look at another one of his quotes here. He said, "My custom is to read 4 or 5 chapters of the Bible every morning immediately after rising. It seems to me the most suitable manner of beginning the day. It is an invaluable and exhaustible mine of knowledge and virtue." The Bible is indeed the best place to go and get knowledge and information, and I can get wholeheartedly behind someone that is promoting biblical literacy. We fail to read as much as we should, and that's myself included, by most assuredly, you know, yeah, I need to read more. I'm way behind on my study, you know, and would find that things would go a lot easier for us if we only applied God's word more in our lives. You know, the more we read, the more we understand, the more we study, the more we learn, the better our application is going to be in our lives, and the more godly our lives are going to become. Now, I'm not saying this is going to make your life perfect or easy, but it's going to make it, you know, you're going to be walking the way God wants you to walk, and that's important. You know, it may not be the easiest course, but it's worth the effort, for sure. All right, next up is a quote that says, "We have staked the whole future of American civilization not on the power of government, far from it. We have staked the whole of our political institutions upon the capacity for mankind to self-government, upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves according to the commandments of God. The future and success of America is not in this Constitution, but in the laws of God which this Constitution is founded." And President James Madison said that. Now, Madison is hitting the nail on the head. The laws of men fail. We have laws against so many things, and they are broken regularly. But God's laws are the important laws, and we live and die by our obedience to God and His rules for us. Our society rises and falls by these laws as well. Ignore what God says, and you will personally fall, and your society will fall as well if they share in that view. All right, how about this one? Here's a good one. Before any man can be considered as a member of civil society, he must be considered as a subject of the governor of the universe, and of the same divine author of every good and perfect gift we are indebted for all those privileges and advantages, religious as well as civil, which are so richly enjoyed in this favored land. That was President Monroe, James Monroe. We must be Christians first, then Americans, and God does favor our land greatly, though we don't do a whole lot here lately that I think is necessary and very pleasing to him. We do a lot to invoke his wrath. You know, I pray God bless America, and I pray America act in a manner of being worthy of being blessed by God. You know, we have done some things recently that are not real good. You know, we've had some problems with some policies and some actions and different things. I'm sure you can all think of several subjects that, you know, we have crossed God on in our American lifestyles, in our American actions, you know. But, I mean, we need to be making sure that we as people are being the kind of people that, you know, can hold God up and you know, hold up God's rules and follow God's rules and be blessed by Him. And that by doing that for ourselves, we will make ourselves a people as a whole. You know, it all starts at home, right? You know, and then we will be worthy of the blessing, as worthy as, you know, of our frail, fallen human hands and souls can be. But, you know, we can do as much as we can. That's what my point is. Here's a really cool one that I think is very famous, but definitely worth mentioning. That book, sir, is the rock on which our republic rests. That was spoken by President Andrew Jackson. The book here he is referring to is the Bible, and Jackson also said, finally, it is my most fervent prayer that the Almighty Being before whom I now stand and who has kept us in His hands from the infancy of our republic until the present day, that He will so overrule all my intentions and actions and inspire the hearts of my fellow citizens that we may be preserved from dangers of all kind and continue forever a united and happy people. You know, and that's he's putting it down right there. He's right on the ball. President Jackson prayed that God, who has, in his belief, cradled us from the beginning of our nation until that moment, continues to do so even over and beyond the mistakes that we might make as human beings ourselves, and that God be in the heart of every American, so that we might stand happy and together. And I say amen to that. You know, let God be in the heart of every American, that we stand up for Him and follow His rules and His guidelines. And make us, you know, but let His will shine through, even through our muddled, mistake-filled, erroneous ways. You know, in regard for this great book, I have this to say. It is the best gift God has given to man. All the good Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book. And that was President Abraham Lincoln. The Bible is indeed the way God speaks to us on the things Jesus did in this world. Salvation comes by faith, and faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Lincoln also said, I am profitably engaged in reading the Bible. Take all of this book upon reason that you can, and balance and the balance by faith, and you will live and die a better man. It does us good to read the Bible and have faith through it, and by doing so, we will be better spouses, parents, children, citizens in this nation. To the influence of this book, the Bible, we are indebted for the progress made in civilization, and to this we must look as our guide into the future. That was said by President Ulysses S. Grant. The Bible has all the proper rules to grow and maintain a society, and we owe God for handing down these laws that keep us all working so well together as a country. By continuing to follow those rules, we will incur the blessings of heaven and will benefit as a nation. We will get a benefit as a whole nation. Grant was right. We must use the Bible as a light to make plain the path our nation needs to take. Hard to believe an old Texan has positive things to say about a Yankee like Grant, right? Nevertheless, the South will rise again, folks. It's just inevitable. But, you know, I mean, even I got to give Grant credit. You know, he may have been, you know, come down here and whoop the Southern boys up in the Civil War, but you still got to give him credit. You know, and yeah, I know it's a Southern thing. We all still hanging on to that. It ain't over yet. You know, but You know, just joking around there, of course. I'm not being serious. All right, on to the next one. A thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education. That was said by Theodore Roosevelt. A good point. A college education can help you for life, whereas a biblical education can help you for eternity. We talked about the value of a spiritual education in episode 162, so if you want to check back on that, I think that one's still up. It should be. The Bible, here's our next quote, the Bible is the one supreme source of revelation of the meaning of life, the nature of God, and the spiritual nature and needs of men. It is the only guide of life which really leads the spirit in the way of peace and salvation. America was born a Christian nation. America was born to exemplify the devotion to the elements of righteousness which are derived from the revelations of Holy Scripture. And that was said by Woodrow Wilson. Notice here that President Wilson affirms his and my belief that America was indeed born a Christian nation. I know many different leaders and some founding fathers were not Christian, but were instead deists, like we mentioned, or agnostic, or something else entirely. But as our quotes here are showing, there are also a number of founding fathers and presidents, you know, specifically, that held the Christian faith in highest esteem. It is this belief that, as President Wilson so stated there, that should drive us as a nation. We are a country that counts Christianity as the primary faith by a comfortable margin still. It may be going down, but it's still a pretty big margin. So do we not see more Christian values and morals in place? Why are we, as a religious group, being pushed back off the line? Why do my city, state, and federal officials have to worry about offending atheists and Muslims and even Satanists, but it's open season on attacking and otherwise offending Christianity? You know, this happens a lot. You know, we see this all the time. I'm not advocating for a position of dominance for Christianity. I'm not a dominionist or whatever I guess you call them. But no matter what my bias might indicate, what I'm talking about is the idea that the religious freedom is the right for every man to practice his own faith, not the stripping of religious rights from any one group of people, including Christians. We are to have freedom of religion, but that does not equate to freedom from religion. You see a lot of it around the holidays, especially Christmas. It seems to come out every year, the happy holidays versus Merry Christmas debate. And, you know, should atheists, agnostics, and non-Christians celebrate this holiday? And all that business. And it's just, you know, a lot of times it just seems to fall in a line to where Christianity is snubbed, and pushed aside whenever tolerance for other religions are being so strongly pushed forward. You know, we need to have, you know, this idea of, you know, all of it is important. You know, at least, you know, from the view of it. Now, I obviously advocate that Christianity is the only true religion, and of course that is, you know, the basis of my whole argument here. But, you know, our founding fathers did push for freedom and equality in this country because we don't want to have the persecution like we talked about. So, I mean, I'm just saying it's, you know, it really bothers me, but I'll rant about that more later sometime. Now, let's look at some more support for Christianity from the highest office in the land. Another quote. The strength of our country is the strength of its religious convictions. The foundation of our society and our government rests so much on the teachings of the Bible that it would be difficult to support them if faith in these teachings would cease to be practically universal in our country. That was Calvin Coolidge. Well, we're starting to see what happens when those truths are no longer universal in our nation. Crime is rampant. Abortion kills huge chunks of generations before they have the chance to live. We see destruction of the sanctity of marriage through the gay marriage, propagation of the gay marriage thing that's going around the country now. Cohabitation without marriage. Divorce. We see things directly, these things are directly addressed in the Bible, and if we held that fast to our hearts, we wouldn't see the kind of sinful behavior that are becoming commonplace in our land, like motorcycle gangs going and shooting each other up in my state, you know, a few days ago, and from the time this is being recorded, and, you know, this blatant, open nastiness and evil and everything else that's festering around that we're having so much trouble with. That's what's happening is we're starting to fall away from God, and that's a problem, you know. Let's look at another good quote here. You can't divorce religious belief and public service. I've never detected any conflict between God's will and my political duty. If you violate one, you violate the other. Jimmy Carter. President Carter here had it right. To govern well, you must govern according to God's will. And if you do this, there will be no conflicts of interest between your public service to your nation and your private service to God. Of the many influences that have shaped the United States into a distinctive nation and people, none may be said to be more fundamental and enduring than the Bible. That was President Ronald Reagan. Reagan nailed it on the head with that quote. Again, while we might not exclusively be Christian, we are deeply founded upon and influenced by the Christian religion. That source of influence is felt even to this day. It may face many challenges from all sides, but that doesn't change the fact that so many Americans continue to hold a flag in one hand and a Bible in the other. All right, here's another one. Let's just go ahead and make this the last one here. If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we'll be a nation gone under. That's a very famous quote by President Reagan. With this final quote, we have the truth of the matter. The more we move away from God, the more we are finding ourselves going under. We all know about the issues that are facing our nation that are unbiblical, and we've talked about them in many episodes, but what we need to know, and what I believe Reagan might be thinking about when he spoke these words, is this, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn away from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. All of these men that I've quoted today would seem to agree that we need to humble ourselves, pray, and stop our sinful behaviors so that God will truly bless America in ways we cannot even imagine. God blesses America now as we see through the prosperity we enjoy. But how much He would bless us if we turned away from our sexual sins, from our lust, from our pride, from our cheating, our stealing, our hate, and all the other shortcomings we have, how much would we be blessed then? Could we even imagine how well we'd be blessed in? I pray that we get the chance to find out. Until next time, my friends, God bless.